Welcome back to the Townships at 12. In this segment, I will be chatting with Elaine Cooper, and she will be talking about her latest accomplishment, which is her cookbook, and it's called Cooking Through Chaos. We will hear the song by Norah Jones, and it's called On My Way. And right after that, we'll hear the interview with Elaine Cooper, so please stay tuned.
Stop and stare, breathe the air. No one cares what you have to say. Solitude makes me rude, but in time we all laugh and play. I'm on my way, 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 I'm on my way. Close your eyes. You can dance and sway, float up high, past the sky. When the night falls, I'll come and stay.
Welcome Elaine Cooper to the Townships at 12. Now, Elaine is presently living in the Ottawa region, but she was a townshipper for quite a while in the Ayerscliff region. She is a gardener, a life coach, a holistic chef, and now the author of her first cookbook, Cooking Through Chaos. So welcome, Elaine.
Thank you so much, Maureen. You can take the girl out of the townships, but you can't take the townships out of the girl.
Well, that's good. Now, tell us about your inspiration behind writing this cookbook and how you chose the title, Cooking Through Chaos.
Well, life has been very chaotic for me from a very young, a young mom age. So this is a treasure trove of recipes that I have put together. I'm from a generation, several generations of creative cooks and foragers and really self-sufficiency. So it was really not a big stretch. I always thought I would do a recipe book, but it's taken 40 years. So I've taken generational recipes and created recipes besides that really turn generational cooking upside down on their head. And I mean that in all gratefulness, because it's through their creativeness that, you know, cooking has always been part of what I've done for my family, for ourselves. But when my own health was starting to take a beating, then I needed to look for alternative ways to look after myself. And from there, this is where cooking through chaos has actually come. And it's honestly, as my publisher said, we never changed the title. It was never and actually this cookbook is more than a cookbook, because it has biographical stories, generational stories in there too, just to give everybody an idea, or people an idea of where we've come from.
Okay.
So it's kind of combining both.
Okay, so what sets your cookbook apart from the others? It's a generational cookbook, and it's also geared to people with some health problems too, is that correct?
Have had to make, or have been suggested that they make changes to their eating and lifestyle. And as a certified integrative nutrition health coach, I took that training for improving my own health. And I could see where this is what I needed to do to reach out to others that may be struggling and trying to find the time. So this cookbook saves you time and money in the long run as a scratch cook. You can put your own flavors in there, your own flavor. And when I mean flavors, I mean herbs or spices or things that you like to eat, because I have a lot of options sitting there. So they are gluten-free, dairy-free, and gently sweet. I believe in dessert for breakfast.
Okay, that's interesting. It can work, I guess.
I was waiting for your reaction, because when I usually say that, people go, with many sweet tooths in my family and one of myself, it's to find those ingredients that can be used, like maple syrup and honey. And I use those for all of my sweet treats, only using them to a degree to tickle the taste buds, maybe, and not overdo it.
So you have a lot of personal experiences when you wrote the recipes for this cookbook, I guess?
Oh, yes. Lots of personal experience. And I've always been a foodie. And over the years, cooking for groups and preparing meals for groups, I am a holistic chef. So when I offer a menu, then I offer a menu with vegan, vegetarian, dairy-free, gluten-free, and gently sweet choices. And I do that privately in individual homes. My very first business, which seems like about 100 years ago, was catering, was home baking. And for many people in the Earth Cliff area, is where I'm originally from, was born and brought up in that area, and brought up my family, my little family there, my three daughters, and then moved on from the chaos in life. And so I have gardened as a gardenologist. I teach and specialize in aeroponic growing. So the need to keep on growing after being self-sufficient on 200 acres, back bringing up my young family, it's something that has never left me. I don't think it can, because it's just ingrained in my ancestral hereditary.
Okay, that's probably a good thing. Can you share a favorite recipe from the book and a story behind it?
Oh, my goodness. My dad's peanut butter cookies. He always sat down before bed and had his cup of milk. We were brought up on the real stuff, real food. And he would have a peanut butter cookie. And we'd get it out of the cookie jars, which were these big glass jars in the cupboard. And he'd sit down and he'd be dunking his cookie. So with that, I've turned it gluten-free and gently sweet and dairy-free as well. So I think he'd still be okay with that. Mind you, he never had a chance to taste it. But basically, very few ingredients. And on my list to make this week, as I have launched a retreat this next weekend, actually, I'm getting ready to launch our first retreat. It's okay. A wellness, women's wellness retreat.
Good. What were the challenges you faced while writing this and developing the recipes?
Actually, writing it wasn't hard because I had the perfect guidance, the perfect mentor to help me with this, to keep me at it. I mean, I've started and stopped this recipe book over the years, so I had a lot of recipes that I already had on file, on my digital files. So that wasn't really a big challenge to get the recipes prepared. I think it was probably because I took all the pictures and I staged all the pictures with generational things from my family, from myself, that meant something. When I look at that picture, I know that is, say, one of the soups, the French onion soup. My goodness, that's a beautiful French onion soup pot that I got as a present from a wonderful sister-in-law. So the things I use for the pictures mean something to me. Okay. So, and hopefully to my family as well. I think the biggest challenge was getting it all done, coordinating, because every single one of these recipes I made and took pictures and made videos. Next steps are going to be an online course with that.
Oh, that's fine.
So it was, kind of putting it all together. I said, well, while I'm doing these, I might as well do the other, because that's been on my bucket list to do as well. But Maureen, the thing that I was really surprised with was the sweet treats. Because when I was doing those recipes, like my dad's peanut butter cookies, my mom's favorite carrot muffins, my kids' oatmeal cookies with, oh my goodness, yes, and I had to put chocolate chunks in there, but dairy-free chocolate chunks. I really got into the generational thing and the family thing and the memories. Oh my goodness, in the soft ginger molasses cookies, Mom used to make those at Christmas time, and I used her recipe box. I used her coffee cup that I've inherited, and I used her Lifetime Membership Women's Institute shawl in that picture.
Nice.
Yes, I did.
Okay, good. And do you have a favorite cooking tip or a technique that you've included in the cookbook?
Every recipe has Elaine's tip at the bottom of it. So if I was to grab one in here, my favorite one, be creative. Make it your own. You know, the recipes here are a guideline. There are lots of options. You can use different herbs and so forth as desired. And I'm a batch cooker, so I, even as, you know, being single and not having the kids at home anymore, then make it simple, keep it simple, and be prepared. So you can change your health, you can change your kitchen, and you can change your pantry with a lot of what I have throughout the cookbook.
What about memorable experiences or stories that happened while you were testing the recipes for the book?
I had my two youngest grandkids, I call them my kidlets. I had them come over and they were making cookies with me. So I just decided that, oh, hey, this is a great time to get their opinion on, okay, are you going to give me a thumbs up, a thumbs sideways, or a thumbs down? So I have a picture in here of their thumbs up.
Good for you.
Yeah, that was really fun. And those were the ginger molasses cookies and the chocolate chip cookies. And that's why I had to put the chocolate chunks in.
Okay, how do you get, where do you get the chocolate chunks that are dairy free?
Oh my goodness, there is so much more available today. And I'm going to give you that one because I know I have it right here on my counter to make those cookies for the retreat, and it's called Enjoy Life, dairy-free and gluten-free, and usually you can get them in any of the big grocery stores in the health, I don't like to use the word natural, but in the aisles where they have more of the healthier choices.
Okay, good to know. Okay. Now, how important was it for you to include information about sourcing ingredients or cooking sustainably in your cookbook?
Oh, cooking sustainably. I mean, I love it that everybody out there literally grows their own greens, grows their own herbs and spices, or not necessarily spices, but herbs, grow their own veggies. And I was brought up in an agricultural community, so to encourage that has been really simple. Yet I don't have an acreage anymore, so how do I do that? I live smack in the city, and I love it, but my space is a condo space, so how do I do that? I do it by container gardening. I do it by growing my own peppers and growing my own apples, and some of them are hot because there is a recipe. It's not in the book, but I've been asked so often for a pepper relish, hot pepper relish, and I started making it, and I sell out every fall.
Good for you. Good. How do you think technology has influenced cooking and recipe development? And as you mentioned, after your cookbook, you're going to make videos of the cookbook too and the recipes?
Yes. Yes, I actually have those videos made. They're just sitting waiting to be edited. So I will have a platform that I will be offering cooking classes online. And I mean, you can reach just so many more people now that we're in the digital age. And I've kept up with that. I may be a grandma, but I'm definitely a grandma geek. So I have kept up with that. And I just, you know, it delights me to know that, my goodness, these recipes are going to be, this book, this my course is going to, classes are going to be going around the world. 20 years ago, we couldn't have done something like that, or 30 years ago, we couldn't have done something like that. So it really tickles me to see that now that we have digital, I actually agonized at the beginning. Why do I want to make? Yes, I want to make a cookbook. I want to write a cookbook. I want to put together a cookbook. But why not just put them on the internet? The biggest difference is you can't hold it in your hand. And I actually have pictures of original recipe cards from my mom's recipe box that look, stained. That look well loved, well used, and that's what I want this recipe book to look like. My recipe books that I've had since I became a cook for my own self are stained, and some of the pages are ripped and so forth, and that's the kind of feel that I want people to get. I want them to get the feel of holding that book in their hands and knowing where it came from.
I know what you mean. There's something about holding a book in your hand. Any particular cultural or regional influences reflected in the recipes?
Well, there's a little bit of Costa Rican in there. There's a little bit of Mexican in there, places that I've traveled to. And when I travel, I just came back from a retreat in Mexico a couple of weeks ago already. And I was in the kitchen with the chef. And they created one of my recipes. They created, I said, just put your spin on it. And it came out so beautiful. And it was just in time because that was the last picture I could put in my book for the Costa Rican rice and beans. Yeah. And then I have a Mexican recipe in there as taco casserole. And it's so easy. And it's probably things that you have in your cupboard right away are easily obtainable. They're not strange. But yes, I have brought back things that I have eaten in other countries and use them in my recipes. Cacao nibs, raw chocolate nibs. Yeah, no, they're not great to eat by the handful, but they sure are good when you put them in granola.
How do you get the gluten-free bread not to be dry, because the store-bought kind is so dry? If you make it yourself, is it always that dry?
No. And it is very difficult for commercial entities to get out a gluten-free bread. There is a bread that I really, really like because I don't cook all the time. I want to be able to do fun things in the community and travel and so forth. So I want something that I can pick up wherever. And Quaticook has a lovely bakery. It's called Cuisine L'Angélique, and I'm going to say it. She is not a sponsor. I have no connection with them, except I use her flour exclusively in my baking, and it makes all the difference in the viscosity of the flour of the muffin or of the bread. It's not dry, and it is good. It's not hard. A lot of the commercial bakeries will use potato starch. They will use tapioca flour. They will use, as far as I'm concerned, empty ingredients. They're empty of much nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
And the flour that I use actually has ancient grains in it that are gluten-free, like teff, like quinoa, like amaranth, like buckwheat. We probably know, most of your listeners probably know what buckwheat flour is. It's just from the townships, in the townships, and have been in the townships. Buckwheat flour, buckwheat pancakes. But those kinds of ancient grains really do make a difference in how the baked good turns out. And yes, it doesn't have that poof like gluten, but there are other ways that you can create that.
Okay, that's interesting. The cookbook, the most important information is, where can we get the cookbook? Is it available on Amazon or any bookstores?
It's called Cooking Through Chaos. And when Amazon pushes the go button, we've been working like crazy for the last 3 weeks to make the changes necessary. So yes, it will be on Amazon. It is on Amazon right now as an ebook. But if you do want to wait for the paperback, just go to Cooking Through Chaos by me, and you can pre-order the paperback copy.
Okay. And how do our listeners find you? On Facebook? Is that the best way?
You can find me all over the place. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, but I'm mostly on Facebook and Instagram.
Okay. So just type in Elaine Cooper.
Yeah, you can type in my name. There are other Elaine Coopers. At this point in time, I have a purple sweater on, but in my picture, but it's Your Better Living Coach. So okay. I would love to see people come into the wellness group, because I do post in that regularly. You may find recipes in there as well, because, you know, there's a lot more recipes that I can put in the book.
Do you plan on making a second book?
That part, no, not yet. Probably will do a second children's book, because I did write another book that's not on Amazon. That's available only through me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Get Up and Grow.
Nice.
So it's about a young girl's bicycle adventure to her grandma's house. Along the way, she meets a new friend and discovers some magic seeds. God, that's some magic in there. And off to her grandma's house, she discovers her green thumb.
Anything else you'd like to add before we go, Elaine?
I am just tickled that you reached out. I mean, it's been quite a while since I had my own radio show, Countryside, on CDMQ, when that was back when it was at Bishop.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize you had one.
Yes. That was before you had taken over and brought it to the heights that it is today. So it tickles me to be able to, and delights me to be able to be a voice in the townships with you today.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Elaine. Elaine Cooper, new author of Cooking Through Chaos. So visit her Facebook page, and I can't wait to get my hands on the cookbook, Elaine. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome, Maureen. Thank you.
One day I'm gonna get it right. Remember to live before they turn out the light. Swim out past the docks. Drive on till I'm lost. One day I'm gonna read the news. Everybody got along for an hour or two. With just a little face to face, this could be a better place for us all. Somebody wise with the right set of eyes.
That was Ryan McMahon, and the song is called Feed Your Mind. And we have some health news today, and this is for those people who suffer from spring allergies. Here's some foods that might help you with that. Turmeric. The star of turmeric is curcumin, a compound with anti-inflammatory properties that may help reduce inflammation in nasal passages, as well as inhibit the release of histamines. Whether you use the powder or the fresh version when cooking, try to pair turmeric with a pinch of black pepper, which helps optimize absorption. Now, oranges. Vitamin C always proves itself a superhero, and in this case by acting as a natural antihistamine to quell stuffiness or brighten red eyes, just like those over-the-counter anti-allergy meds. It also helps to break down histamine that's already been released, so it has less of an effect on you and your symptoms. Citrus and bell peppers are excellent sources for this. Red onions. Quercetin is an antioxidant that helps prevent the release of histamine, which in turn may help lessen allergy symptoms, particularly nasal-related ones. It's found in abundance in red onions as well as in red cabbage, berries, grapes, and apples. And finally, sardines. These tinned fish are a source of anti-inflammatory omega-3s, which help stabilize cell membranes so they're less likely to release histamines when an allergen comes calling. Think of cell membranes as a gateway that determines what gets in and what goes out, so supporting the health of these membranes is very important. And that's our health news today. It's from the Prevention Magazine, the May 2024 issue. I'd like to thank my guest today, Mary Neville, the head grower from Neville's Greenhouse, Mary's Flowers. Check out the Facebook page. And if you want some nice quality flowers and plants for the summer, she's opening again on May 8th on Dillon Road. I'd also like to thank Elaine Cooper, author of Cooking Through Chaos. It's available on Amazon in Kindle version. It will soon be the actual book. And you can also contact her on Facebook, Elaine Cooper. Thanks for listening, everybody, and have a wonderful afternoon. We'll close today's show with a song called Anyone's Game, and it's by Iron and Wine.
A grave. They do this until it's killing them to try.